So let's see if anybody can hear me now. This is, got it. Thanks so much. This is KBBI Homer, AM 890. And now I have some understanding of the new board configuration. This is the COVID brief, the Thursday brief. It is now 9:05 a.m. Thank you for your patience. Principal Wacluski from Homer High School and Principal Dendurant from the Homer Middle School.
Good morning.
Good morning. Peggy Erkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District will be calling in at about 9:20. If you have questions for the principals, please call 235-7721. And you can email your questions to info@kbbi.org. Okay, I'm going to start this again. So good morning to both of you. And before I get in with the questions, I want to make sure that I start, let's start with Principal Wacluski. In our initial conversation, one of the things you wanted to make sure that you got out to people was that there's going to be a big difference in the way things are happening from what you remember in the spring of the second semester.
Right. I mean, I think the first thing to really remember is that last spring, it was kind of an emergency, and we had a switch on a moment's notice. We had teachers who had never done distance education, and then they ended up having to do distance education. So it's going to be a lot different than it was last year. Obviously, when it's safe, we can be face-to-face. When it's not, you're going to be able to get it from distance. But the other thing to remember is that you have choice. So if you wanted to stay home and get your education at Homer High School at home, you could do that or come in face-to-face, obviously, when it's safe enough to do so.
Okay, and do you, Principal Dendurant, do you have anything to add to that?
I think one thing that I would like to add is last Friday, the Homer area principals met to discuss kind of what this was going to look like this year. So we're going to pretty much all be on the same page as far as what it's going to look like for our volunteers and our students coming in, our understanding of social distancing. And so families aren't going to have to look at something different at the elementary level, for example, like a Paul Banks to a West Homer to Homer Middle to the high school. We are trying to make it so the parents have a good understanding. The other piece that I want to make sure that people are aware of is both yesterday and today, the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District is doing leadership academies where our teacher leaders and principals are meeting and really fine-tuning what exactly this school year is going to look like. And so we are following the same type of training, the same expectations, the same checklist. And while our schedules may look a little bit different, those expectations of what every school is going to be doing in our operations is going to be very, very similar. However, maybe our schedules are going to be different, our lunches are going to be different, those transitions during classroom may be a little bit different. But the positive is we do have a plan, but they're giving principals the autonomy to figure out what's going to work best for our schools.
And if you have any questions for Principal Dendurant from Homer Middle School or Principal Wacluski from Homer High School, call 235-7721. Or email to info@kbbi.org. Let's start with in-person school attendance. And I know that from talking to Public Health and South Peninsula Hospital and reading CDC materials that ventilation and filters are hugely important to keeping the droplet transmission down. So Principal Wacluski, how is Homer High School set up for that?
We're really good right now because this summer, for whatever reason, the borough came in and they redid the whole system. They made sure the filters were replaced. Filtration that hadn't been working for years is now working. So we're actually in good shape at Homer High for that.
And at Homer Middle School?
Last year, they went ahead and redid the HVAC system in the gymnasium area. They've also updated the system in the MPR that's also known as our multi-purpose room. And they've just done borough maintenance has just done a really good job of taking care of our area schools. And so I think overall we're feeling pretty solid at this time with those ventilation systems.
Now, both Homer Middle School and Homer High School have mask mandates within the dress code now. In the elementary schools, it's third grade and higher or fourth grade and higher? Third grade.
Third grade and higher, yep.
And so I'd like to hear from both of you about including masks in the dress code, and will you have masks on hand for people who don't have them?
Homer High will have masks on hand. I think the district's kind of treating it like, well, that's just going to be part of the dress code, like a shirt and shoes and that type
of
things.
Oh, right. I mean, you send people home if they're wearing spaghetti, like bare shoulders or a bar t-shirt or...
Right. But we'll have masks for them. So if a student forgets a mask, we'll have one-time use mask. Homer High, we're purchasing masks for all the kids with the Homer High logo on it because we want to have a little school spirit. And I think most schools are going to deal with it in a similar way.
And I think the biggest thing is I know a lot of people are struggling with pro-mask or anti-mask. And kind of our responses as administrators and school staff will be Superintendent O'Brien has made that decision, and it's not necessarily what our personal philosophy is this is the policy is set forth by our superintendent, and we just do need to follow that. And in addition to Mr. Wisklowski, the district also has purchased masks that they will be sending out to the schools that we will have on hand. But as far as the dress code and what masks can and can't look like, it's just going to be following the language of our student handbooks as far as what's appropriate and not appropriate with the masks themselves.
And, were going to talk?
And I was just going to say, it's a matter of safety, too. We want to be able to, if we want to stay open and we want to be face-to-face, we just need to do what we have to do to make sure that we can continue to do that. Because, again, we're going to be working on the numbers. If the numbers are too high, we can't be face-to-face school. So, again, it's just a matter of safety, too.
And to stay with the in-school attendance topic, what about rules for behavior and social distancing? You want to start, Principal Wisklowski?
Sure. Again, it's going to be like procedures. And I don't know if you want to call it rules. It's just what you have to do when you're at school. It's the same thing with being respectful and everything else, is you need to keep that social distancing. We'll do things like have signs up. We'll have, X's on the floor to stay 6 feet apart. The first couple days of school are probably going to be dealing with a lot of those type of things where we're going to be teaching the students, this is what we expect, okay? In the hallways, we're going to stagger release time so that, there's not so many people in the hallway and that they go use the bathroom, get their books, get to class, and not be spending a lot of time out there. So it's going to be a whole program that we're going to have to teach our students.
And I think the fun thing yesterday when I was speaking with Jen Booz and Dan Olson and Katie Newstead, our teachers, it's interesting how many middle school kids have difficulty figuring out that you need to use the right side of the stairwell or stairway, and they kind of just go all over the place. And so we kind of talked about this is a great opportunity for teaching social norms and social behaviors in the hallway where you walk on the right and looking at some of those pieces of it. And I think the other part, too, is the recommendation at this time is 6 foot for social distancing, but also remembering even the CDC is stating that we need to do the best that we can in our circumstances. And so, again, with what with Doug stating that we need to just do the best we can, do the social distancing, and doing what we can to keep our schools open and symptom-free.
Well, I imagine that as students get younger, it gets more difficult to keep them apart. And so I'd love to hear from any elementary school teachers or teachers of young children if they would like to call and weigh in, 235-7721. Now, we've talked about some classroom stuff, but there are activities that go on during the school day, like singing, like physical activities. And so will the kids be singing in the choir rooms?
We hope so. That's one of those things that we're still working on, because obviously when you're singing, they say you need to have 10 feet, and even that might not be safe. So one's finding a place for them. So they maybe start singing outside or in our theater. Same thing with music. But I know those teachers just had a meeting yesterday also to determine what that's going to look like to make sure it's safe. It could be even things from having face shields while they're singing, but we don't know exactly what that one's going to look like right now.
And I, unfortunately, I don't know for sure what's going to be happening at those elementary school levels, but at Homer Middle School, we've been very excited that every year that our students, all of our students, participate in either band or choir. And this year I've spoken with Kyle Schneider, who was on the state music committee, and we've made the decision that to start safe at Homer Middle School, we will not be having music classes. And so we have decided that we will be looking at a block schedule that will do periods 1, 3, 5, 2, 4, 6 on altering days, but we will not have music at this time. We're hopeful that if we can get the COVID in check, that we will be able to go back to our traditional schedule for music for all. But at this time, for example, we have 70 students
And how far would you have to be from someone to blow a trumpet safely?
They actually have specifics if you have a trombone. So, but at this time, we've decided not to have music. But also, I spoke with Tyler Kreckling, our PE teacher, and we talked about what is PE going to look like. And there's some specifics as far as during rigorous activity, not the need to wear masks, and what is it going to look like in the locker rooms and separating the locker rooms and changing. So we will all have protocols in place for that as well, but we will continue with physical education.
Correct. And we will too. We also have sports going on right now.
Right. Let's go ahead and I want to get to extracurricular activities, but there is one more thing for within the school day that I will have to change, I expect, is the cafeteria and food service. Principal Denderant, can you talk a little bit about the middle school and how that's going to be handled?
So at the middle school, right now our enrollment is about 180 students, and that we've made the decision that we will have a 7th grade lunch and an 8th grade lunch, and so they will be separated. So normally in the past we've had an enrichment time where students can go to the gym, to the library, to work in teachers' classrooms. Those opportunities will still be available, but it will just be with half of the student body. So 7th grade will be in the multipurpose room for lunch, and then the 8th graders will have a separate lunch. And so we're working a little bit on the logistics of moving from space to space, but we still will have that available for our students, as well as our cafeteria tables, separating those out so they'll be spaced out throughout the cafeteria, as well as identifying where students are able to sit to assist with that social distancing while they're eating.
And Principal Wiskowski?
Yeah, well, Homer High, we've kind of had it spread out to begin with, because we allow students to eat in classrooms and hallways, and we also allow everybody above freshman class to leave campus if they want to. But even with that, we'll have fewer tables in the cafeteria. They'll be marked out so, like, you can sit at every third seat, so they're 6 feet apart. They'll be probably asked to eat in classrooms or in the hallways with social distancing. And then we're also looking at some minor changes with our schedule, where we might have two lunch periods to reduce that number even fewer. So again, we just want fewer people walking by each other, gathering with each other during those lunch periods.
Okay, thanks for that. Mm-hmm. Now, I think I'm ready to move on, because once Peggy Erkineff gets on the line, I do want to switch the conversation to things like what will happen when inevitably a student, administrator, worker, or teacher tests positive for COVID-19. What will the protocols be? But I want to make sure that the district is in on that conversation. So let's get to extracurricular activities. And Carrie Denderin, principal of Homer Middle School, you are a district. Explain to me what your position is in terms of extracurricular activities.
So KIPSA, which is the Kenai Peninsula Athletic Association, the executive secretary, and my role is to oversee policies and procedures for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. And so in that role, for example, I work closely with ASA to ensure that our students are participating in athletics and activities we're following at the state level. And so we've been really working with ASA over the summer to make sure that our protocols and our mitigation plans are following those that have been set forth for ASA. We did have a meeting on Tuesday with secondary principals to talk about those mitigation plans and those procedures, and it will be including what practices are going to look like, contests, for example, events, travel, overnight stays, So we are all going to be on the same page in providing example and sample mitigation plans for our principals, athletic directors, and coaches. And those plans will need to be sent into the district office and approved by Kevin Lyon, who's the director of planning and operations, to ensure the safety of all of our students.
And Principal McCloskey, are there activities that are not happening this year? Have things been canceled?
Right now, nothing has been canceled. But one of the issues is like swimming. That one has been delayed until September 3rd in order to try to figure out a good mitigation plan for them. Pools seem to be one of those areas that are kind of tricky. So practice for swimming has not started yet. But cross-country, football, volleyball, they've all started. Cheerleading will start as soon as we find a coach.
Okay. And what about, so away games are going to happen with athletics?
Correct. Yes, they will. Again, that depends on, you know, there's a risk level. There's the red, yellow, and green. And if a community is in a red level, there will be no activity. So if we're supposed to go to Soldotna and they're in a red level, there is no game. In yellow and green, there will be with different mitigation depending on whether it's yellow or green.
Okay, Carrie?
And another thing to share is I have been working as the KIPS Executive Secretary with MATSU, Anchorage, as well as Fairbanks. And so we will be communicating with those communities as well as we're moving forward with those risk levels and those different zones. And so while Anchorage may not be starting, they'll be doing their remote learning at this time, we are communicating with those schools to find out about continuing with those contests. But again, if any of the communities that we are supposed to play against, whether it's home or away, if they are in the red high risk level, those games will be canceled.
Thank you. And I have a question that's been emailed to info@kbbi.org or maybe called in. Will Homer High School be allowing freshmen to leave campus this year for lunch?
Right now, no.
Okay. And Peggy Erkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District is on the line. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being on. Now, we have just about hit that spot where it's time to talk about what will happen if and when someone tests positive and what will be, how we'll be going forward from that. I would, can you start with briefly explaining the green, yellow, red Start Smart system?
I would be happy to do that. So on our website, we're still working on a little bit more robust map. You can find a map that's by our region, and I'm not sure if you've already, I just jumped on the call, I was on another call. People understand why we have three centralized regions and then the smaller areas. So really quickly, the reason we broke it into looking at the entire Kenai Peninsula by eastern, southern, central peninsulas is because we have staff and students that go between communities. So that's why there's not 42 different risk levels, because we know that in the Homer area, people might be driving to Anchor Point or coming up to Kenai or Soldotna. So that is why there are the three main areas. And on the website, you can see what numbers are. So, for example, as of yesterday, in the Southern Peninsula area, I'll use this as an example, there's the ratio of per 100,000 that was broken down by census area. There's a lot of math behind this. If we only look at the 14-day chart, there's 13 positive cases, and high risk starts at 20 cases. So there's a ways to go, and then there's numbers that drop off. When we look and designed the risk levels, we aren't just taking the 14-day counts. After Dr. Zink and state epidemiology looked at the calculations, which were based off of a model that the state had, we also are looking now at 7-day trends, and we have formed a medical advisory task force with the superintendent, assistant superintendents, our nursing supervisor, myself, and medical and OEM representatives. So we'll also be able to look real time at what's happening. And we all know, and we've talked about this for months now, that every COVID positive case has a story to it. So it might be that we bump by five in an area that would put us into a different risk level, but that in fact we know those cases are isolated and they wouldn't. So that's just that risk level background. There's lots more around that. But then what happens in a school? So there's not a level really, even though we say green, but it's like it was a year ago right now, because we have a mitigation plan, and that means that we're doing everything we can to keep people safe. But we do have a pandemic mitigation plan in place in our schools. So at the green or low-risk level, students can expect to come to school. We anticipate there will be less students because we offered some students that will take that choice of 100% remote learning. But in the schools, and both our principals that are on the call can talk specifically to what they're doing in their schools, is the low risk, and there will be physical distancing as best as we can in our schools. And if that 6 feet can't be maintained, cloth face coverings are required for grades 3 and older and all staff and any volunteers that come into the school. When we shift to a medium risk, there may be a few more things that go into place, but we do have symptom-free school protocols. I've talked about that on the show before, so that if somebody has a fever or the sniffles or anything, they're not to come to school in the morning, nor are they to report to work. We want to keep our schools as healthy as we can. And then there is a possibility that if there's a positive case with a student or with a staff, that we could go from low to high risk overnight, just like what happens when you hear from me that we have a snow day or a two-hour weather delay. So that would constitute an analysis and a very rapid contact tracing and determination of if a person tested positive, had they been in the school, and who had they been in contact with. So within our whole plan, we're working a little more in cohorts and knowing where people are in buildings as well. So I know I'm getting into the weeds a little bit with it.
Well, I have a couple of questions regarding what you just said. Julia emailed to info@kbbi.org saying that the CDC recommends ages 3 and up wear masks. So why wouldn't the school require masks for first and second graders?
That's a good question. So we, and our state level Smart Start plan that came out that was updated a week ago, actually 9 days ago now, that indicates grades 2 and higher. We went with grades 3 and higher, and I know there's a little controversy happening right now, and there was conversation at the school board, but with all the medical analysis that was done and the advice that we were given, we did go with grades 3 and older. Now, those littler children will have a face mask in their school supplies, and depending on passing periods, may put those on, depending on what their setup in their school is in hallways and when they're interacting with other children. But our district right now is grades 3 and older, and the superintendent made that decision late last week after really talking to medical, to looking at CDC, looking at state guidance, and talking to all of the medical professionals, as well as listening to input from all sides. He gets daily multiple emails and phone calls every day. Right now, that's what our district is doing. As we know, everything continues to evolve and change, but that is how our plan is written right now.
So I have a couple of follow-ups, but I want to give Principal Wachlowski from Homer High School. Do you have anything to add to that?
No.
I can just go along with my thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So are absentee rules different at all this semester? Because often, you know, like if you have the sniffles or your eyes are itching, up until now, parents just said, suffer, go to school. There's no excuse unless, you know, your temperature is X. So are there going to be different rules for what constitutes a punishment for absenteeism?
Well, just from our structure, and I'll answer that. Just from our structure at Homer High, it's going to be different because the structure where we have it now, you can come to school if it's safe, you know, in that green and yellow levels. But parents can choose at Homer High to keep their kids home and still get a Homer High education. So, you know, they can phone in, they can Zoom in live during the class, they can get the materials because there's going to be digital parallels, which we could talk about if you want to, where all the materials are going to be there. Because it could be that somebody is coming to school and then they have to quarantine or stay away from 10 to 14 days or longer. If they're healthy enough, they could still do their education at home. So that's going to be a quick transition because we're already going to have students at Homer High doing it digitally, phoning in, Zooming in, or something like that. Those students who are sick or need to be home for a reason, they can just get on and continue to be part of that class.
And I have this question from info@kbbi.org, which is that if a student or teacher tests positive, does every person in that class have to quarantine at home for 14 days?
I'll take that question.
Go ahead.
So we're working with the public health and contact tracing, and it depends what their exposure was. So if somebody is an immediate contact of a person who tested positive, and that's defined as within 6 feet of that person for 15 minutes or more without a mask, that's somebody that public health is automatically going to be reaching out to. I do know public health is now saying and asking, and Dr. Zink has said this as well, that if you test positive because of the centralized contact tracing, they're asking people to please reach out to everybody they might have had contact with. So quick response, not necessarily, but every case is different, and we will do a thorough investigation of every case. I'm working right now with our nursing supervisor, and we'll have it by next week to take to our medical task force and then online to actually show the decision-making matrix, so it's not subjective, but there's actually a point value and an ability to make a informed decision about what happens based on what the particulars are and if that person has been in the school and been in contact.
And when teachers have to be out, I know Principal Wiklosky was talking about having substitutes standing by. So anybody who's out of work right now who has, what are the qualifications if a person wants to apply to be a substitute because the district is going to need them? Peggy?
We are, and we anticipate that at any given time we might have 20% of our teachers out, as well as the substitute pool being smaller. We've been in a shortage of substitutes for quite a while. So if somebody's interested in substituting, now is the time to call 714-8888 and go through the process. We have to do a background check, and our human resources department for the district will absolutely work with somebody. We're working on some virtual trainings to potentially launch in another month so that we can onboard substitutes. And then the schools will get a little creative about how they might do some teaching too. So if a teacher's quarantined but they're healthy, maybe they can teach remotely from home. And I wonder if Carrie Denderant has any thoughts about this, because she's been working with that in her school as well.
Thank you, Peggy. So a couple different things that we're looking at. I do also want to mention that I believe yesterday Nate Crabtree had shared that they did have an increase in pay for our substitutes. I know that we're looking at doing permanent subs possibly at the high school. We're also looking at options to compensate our teachers who may need to cover classes. And we've also talked about at the smaller levels at the elementary school, what would that look like? Because in the past, they've combined classes when they aren't able to have a substitute cover. And that's something that we need to look at differently when we're combining those pods or those cohorts of students. So everything's going to be looking a little bit differently. But I think it's just reaching out and, you know, letting people know it's not scary to be working with students, and we're definitely there to help them. If we're going to have somebody that's going to be out for long periods of time, we've discussed having that conversation of having a substitute come in and transition and possibly follow a teacher for a day so that they would be receiving substitute pay for the day to go ahead and work with that teacher as well, like we would do a long-term sub if somebody was on maternity leave. So we're definitely trying to figure out what we can do to make people feel welcome in our school to be able to substitute, and we just appreciate any time that somebody would be able to do that.
Also, Peggy Erkineff, it's not just substitute teachers, right? I mean, there's food service and office work that they'll also need backup.
Absolutely. You know, schools don't run just by the instructional staff that are certified teachers. Our support staff are critical. We have a nurse shortage, for example, and so right now our nurse pay has been raised, and the school board took that action on Monday evening, and we are actually our itinerant nurses, instead of traveling, say, for example, over to Seldovia or Port Graham, we're kind of setting up like a teledoc does with our nurses, and we have a real innovative way to be able to use our nurses to help in all of our schools without actually mixing communities this year. But we're short on nurses right now, definitely. And our custodians, and, you know, there's more sanitization that is going to be happening in buildings. And we have food service, and we have our secretaries. We have so many other categories of employees that make our schools run and are there for our kids.
And Janet has called in to 235-7721 and left the question, is the district going to offer sick leave for substitutes? If you have permanent substitutes.
I don't have the answer to that question. That would be a question I'd need to take to Nate Crabtree, our human resources director.
And I've got Principal Wiskloski on the line, on deck right now. I've got a question for you. But I also wanted to ask Peggy, before I switch topics, is there anything else that was decided at the school district meeting on Monday that has changed things around?
Not as far as our Smart Start plan. And I just want to remind everybody one more time, it will continue to evolve as we have new science, new data, and new guidance from especially the state and the CDC. So it's not locked in stone. One thing I do want to add that we did share on Monday night regarding meals is that any of the families that choose 100% remote learning with the school are eligible to receive school meals like we did in the spring, where it was the get it and go, and they'll be available once a week for pickup at the school. And then if we shift to 100% remote because of high risk, we'll shift to get it and go meals. So for all the families that are worried about meals and feeding children, that will be available.
Thank you. And you just made the perfect transition, because my question for Homer High School Principal Doug Wiskloski is, what is it you were telling me that a student can go to Homer High School from home as opposed to homeschooling with connections? Can you talk about the difference?
Yeah, correct. So what we're offering this year, because we want everybody to have choice and feel comfortable. I mean, we're going to do everything we can to keep it safe face-to-face, but if for whatever reason that you're uncomfortable, you can still stay home and get your education with a Homer High School teacher. Just realize the difference between that and homeschooling is if you homeschool, the parent is the teacher. They could do online classes, they can do home or high classes if there's availability, but there's going to be issue with that because of social distancing. But there's an actual teacher there who they can get their education from. So for instance, we have somebody who we call Computer Girl, who has been living in Sterling and taking classes at Homer High for years. So you'll see this laptop walking around the hallway with a face of a girl on it. She calls into a student either by FaceTime or Zoom, and she's part of the class. So those students who are at home can call in and be part of the live class, get the discussions, get the lecture, be part of the activities. Or if there's a reason that they're going to be gone, there will be a digital parallel, so students can still get the material, watch the lectures online, and be able to keep up with the material. That may look a little bit different at the middle school and the elementary. At the high school level, that's something that we can do. It might look a little bit different, and I know Carrie's shaking her head over there.
Carrie Denderen, principal of Homer Middle School.
So just for clarification, all of the schools in the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District are offering this option of remote learning, and it may look a little bit different at every school. But we just want to also state that what we were doing in the spring that we considered our remote learning will be looking a lot different here in the fall. And reasons I'm saying, as far as the rigor, the time spent, we had some students that were doing, or with their teachers that were doing synchronous that was live, and we had some that was asynchronous that would do it at different times. And so...
So you mean like taping a lecture?
Correct, where they would offer... a video maybe for students to see. One of the pieces that Eric Soderquist, who's our IT director, and I talked about a little bit yesterday, is what can we do for not just one person, but if we have, you know, 50% of the students are doing the remote and 50% of the students are going to be live, what can we do as far as setting up camera systems and maybe having the teacher is the host at the front of the classroom, but then also having a camera at the back of the classroom so they can be participating with their students in their class. And why this is so important is we may have some students that will choose to be remote right now because they're waiting for 2 weeks to see what our school is going to look like, but they're going to be coming back into that classroom and continuing with their schedule. And so we're kind of looking at some different options. And the other piece of it too, from my conversation with Eric yesterday, is a lot of us have some really, really great ideas of what we can utilize with technology as we're moving forward. Unfortunately, there's a shortage on a lot of technology. And so we're looking at what do we have currently in our buildings that we can make shift. So maybe instead of having a webcam, would be utilizing the camera from a laptop, for example, at the back of the classroom. But those remote learning options are great for our students to continue working with a certified teacher, continue working with the curriculum as the KPBSD has set forth. And so we're just, the biggest thing is we want to make sure that if you choose to continue with that 100% remote learning, you are still a part of the school, and the teacher is the one who's going to be facilitating.
And I do have a question along these very lines. It's directed for Principal Klosky, and I also want to make sure that Peggy Erkineff and Carrie Denderin get to weigh in on it. Susan asked by email to info@kbbi.org, if students do remote learning, will they be Zooming into the same class session that is live where students are sitting in classes? Last spring, teachers had one job, which was remote learning, and now teachers are asked to do two jobs, remote and in-person classes, at the same time. The format is completely different, so Susan wants to know if you can be a little more clear about how that's going to happen. I mean, is it possible? I think what I heard from Carrie Denderent was that it is possible that the remote students would be
that they
at
could
a different
have
time.
The same. They could have the same schedule. So if their class is from 8 to 9, they'd call a student, FaceTime in. They could be part of the class. Okay, that could look different at like an elementary level. That doesn't make as much sense at the elementary level. There may be a specific teacher who is dealing with those remote students. Again, they would be Zooming in. There'd be the one teacher. At the high school level, we're already kind of set up for that. So, but no, the teacher would be teaching once. So they would be teaching once to that live class. Students could either, Zoom in or technology and be part of that class, or they could watch the lecture at a different time. So the teachers would just post that lecture online and they could watch it at a different time if they couldn't make it at that time. So teachers would only be doing the teaching once. They'd have the same number of students that they'd normally have. Some would be in the classroom, some would be at home. So I don't know if that makes it any clearer.
Well, there's a lot going on. Carrie, do you want to add to that? Pardon me, Principal Denderin, would you
okay.
like to add to that?
So I just want to go back to the district's having our Leadership Academy that started yesterday and is also going on today. And so they're giving the different schools the time to be able to talk about what that would look like. And so once those leadership teams will put something together of what will work best for their own school, then we will also be presenting that information to our staff as we're moving forward and talking about that's why we'll be extending our professional development, is giving them the opportunity to talk about what it will look like. I think the other part, when Peggy had stated about evolving and change, is that if we have 50% of our students are remote and 50% of our students are face-to-face, a school may make that decision to say, as an elementary school may say, I want one second grade teacher to be remote. I want the other second grade teachers to be those face-to-face. But again, it's going to go back to what's going to be working best for those schools. And so I think it may be something where we might start out with a 50-50, and then come September 15th, for example, people are saying, okay, we feel comfortable, we want to come back and increase mm-hmm. that face-to-face. So it's really difficult at this time. I know the district did send out a preliminary survey to find out what kind of teachers' choices were, and the district did compile that information and sent that out to the principals to give us kind of a planning as we're moving forward. And they will also, once more information is getting out to our parents and to our students, I believe they will be sending out another questionnaire as far as asking parents what they're going to be doing moving forward. But I think right now most of the schools in the Homer area are going forward with what we have set in place. But in conversation, if we need to make changes, changes. Right.
Meetings and revisions are constant daily activities for the whole district. I've got that right.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Now, I have a question from Margie. Is there a limit for the number of students in a classroom? What does physical distancing look like? We talked a little bit about that, but it's worth repeating. Will there be 20 to 30 students in a class?
There could be 20 to 30 students in a class. We're trying to limit that. Obviously, from that one survey she was talking about, we have 30% of our students who parents who say they're going to keep their students home and do the digital. So that would reduce that number. So say if we have 30 students, that reduces it down to about 34. If we have those big numbers, we don't have big numbers in our classrooms usually anyway. We have a couple, you know, Sean Campbell's classes are usually really big.
He's a rock star.
He is. Those classes would probably be moved into the library. They'd be moved into the commons. They would go outside. We're going to suggest that they teach outside as much as they can, or they could be in the theater. And then we have some other things where we have some team teachers. We might actually break some of those classes up in half, and they would be zooming from class to class, so we'd have half in one room and half in the other. We're getting extra furniture out of there. I mean, like she said, right now we're going over a lot of different things, but we're going to get extra furniture out and make sure that we can spread them out as far as we can. So
now I have a few emailed questions stacked up to get to. I want to give last call because it's 9:46 a.m., and so I want to give last call for anyone who wants to call in a question or email. Call 235-7721 or email info@kbbi.org. With regard to extracurricular activities, students already have to sign sort of parents, sort of a hold harmless agreement for, you know, if you get hurt in football or whatever, don't they?
Yes.
So is the agreement, will they have to agree to any additional conditions regarding COVID in order to participate in extracurricular activities? Principal Denderin.
So basically, OSLA has provided our school districts the opportunity. They do have a COVID-19 sample waiver, and so the students also have to provide that, and it talks about what their responsibilities are, and so they can contact their individual coaches for that information, but it is part of that packet. I do also want to mention that on Tuesday, the KPBSD, I went ahead and sent forth a waiver request, which is called a blanket eligibility waiver. So we're holding students harmless for eligibility as a result of the third and fourth quarter. So having students think their eligibility is going to look like a starting freshman. And so that blanket waiver was approved by Billy Strickland at OSSA. So KPBSD, athletes as well as people involved in activities will have that blanket eligibility waiver as we're moving forward for fall.
So I think I'm going to need a clarification. You may have to set me straight on this. Am I to understand that the waiver also, I mean, it protects the school, but does it also protect students who might infect another student?
I think you got two different things.
There's
a COVID waiver that OSSA came out with that they have to sign to say, hey, we know that this is still a risky time. We're going to do everything we can to keep you safe, but, you know, this is real life. The other one is a waiver for eligibility. So if they didn't pass a class, normally you have to sit out 4.5 weeks. It's 3 weeks in the summer. That you don't have to do. So if you didn't get your credits or if you failed a class, you are still going to be eligible to begin sports right now because the sporting practices have started.
Right, and if you had to quarantine for 14 days, you can still, after your quarantine is over, you can still, those don't count against you as absentee.
No.
Because you're still a student participating.
Right. Yep.
And also, one other question, you had talked about the end of the day release being staggered so that students aren't all crowding the halls. I have a feeling everyone who's seen any social media has seen the photos from Georgia in the hallways. Yep. And so in order to keep that from happening,
So we are going to be staggering. We're working on that plan today.
Oh, good.
But one of the things that we're
the start of the day.
But
is
one of the
also
things that we're talking about is, well, you know, like in the start of the day, you know, as they come in, if it's a big bus, I mean, they're all coming in at the same time. Mm-hmm. We're going to kind of split them off, make sure that they sanitize their hands as they come in, and we want them to go right to their classroom, so you know they can get their breakfast, go to the locker rooms, go right to the classrooms. During the passing periods, we're going to stagger those, so it's going to be a minute, you know, at the bell, a third of the students will be left out, and then a minute, another third, and another minute, the last third. And then we're going to do the same thing at the end of the day. We'll probably release students who are walking or getting a ride, and then we'll try to release ones where we know that the buses are there right away, and then after a couple more minutes, then we'll release the rest of them. But we're doing those type of mitigation plans everywhere. Everything that we're doing, we're having to rethink, you know, cafeterias. You know, we don't have to worry about playgrounds, but we have to worry about the gym at lunch, you know, what happens in the drop-off and pick-up for parents, those type of things. That information will be coming to the parents as it gets completed.
Well, it's just about time for final comments. I do want to talk to Peggy Erkeneff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Thank you so much for calling in this morning. Is there anything on your list that you feel like needs to get out to people? And can we talk a little bit about the lines of communication between the district and parents?
Absolutely. Big thing's going to happen today. So every week, the district, I'm going to be putting out communication to everybody in the whole district, which through School Messenger, which goes to all of our staff and all of our families and students. Then, because we know the trusted voice is also the local schools, all of our schools will be communicating with families as well. We know in emergency communications that keeping it really simple and more often to help people understand things is good. We're only capable of small bites of information right now. So one big thing that's going to come out today that Carrie Denderant mentioned is thank you to everybody who did the poll about what you might choose for school choice that closed on Tuesday. That was helpful for our teams that are working right now. But today I'm going to be sending out the link. It's going to be live by this evening, and it's a returning student information update, and it's an online packet. We aren't doing any updates in person at school, so normally this time of year there'd be back to school events. New students could come with their families to the schools to be registering. All that has been developed and is being done online. So for every student that's attending school, it's not a new registration form that you're doing, but we're asking all of our returning students to fill out a number of things and indicate what their choice is for 100% remote, in school as long as schools are opening, or connections homeschool, and there's other forms in there as well. So I'll be sending that information packet link out tonight or
Great.
Late this afternoon.
Now, we haven't even addressed what's going to go on with connections. That homeschooling will be a whole other show because
okay.
there's enough to handle
right.
with just getting the students who are going to – you go ahead.
So for communication, parents can count on, they will hear from the district level from me, as well as from their school principals and at the school level. And I'm really excited. At 11 o'clock this morning, I'm talking to all of our principals and their instructional teams about communications. And then all our schools are going to learn about the new websites that our webmaster's been developing all summer long for every single school. So the school websites will become a hub for parents to receive information. And the design is amazing. We've been working on redesigning our district website for the last year, and that got put on hold, and the design went down to every school website. It will have a new look, and I'm thrilled with it. I'm actually envious that the district's website isn't going over to our new design yet. But we are going to do everything we can to communicate often, clearly, and simply.
And I said we weren't going to talk about connections, and then a question came in. So I'm going to ask you, Patrick wants to know, is if a student does do connections homeschool, can they choose to do AP or honors classes at the high school?
Well, I could answer that.
Go ahead.
Yes, they absolutely can. The issue is it's our policy always is home or high students get positions first, and then if there's room, we take homeschool students. So realize that might look a little bit different in the social distancing thing. So before, you know, we would go up to 30 students, that number might be 24, depending on the size of it and what we can handle.
So yes,
you absolutely can, but it's just like every other year, if we have room, we'll absolutely, you know, I know these are all our kids, not just Homer High kids, and that's the way that I run Homer High. But again, we have to deal with our students first.
Principal Doug Wilkowski from Homer High School, any final comments?
No, I'm just excited about
feeling
the
good?
New year, and hopefully we'll have this. We'll have all these details worked out before school starts on the 24th, and I look forward to hopefully greeting everybody on the 24th.
Well, stay in touch if there's any information that you feel like needs to get out to people. And Principal Carrie Denderant from Homer Middle School.
I'd just like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to provide information out to the Homer community. But I think the most important piece that I want to share is if you have any questions about your own individual child and your individual family, please reach out to the schools and they will be the best ones to answer those questions for you that will specifically work for you. So thank you.
Thank you so much. And Peggy Erkineff, any final comment from you?
I want everybody to know we're working for solutions. We're here for you. Talk to your school principals. And this is going to be hard. We've never done this before. None of us have. And the way we'll get through it is doing it together and being kind to each other.
Well, thank you all. Peggy Erkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, Principal Carrie Denderant from Homer Middle School, and Principal Doug Wilkowski from Homer High School. This has been the COVID-19 Brief. I will spend a few hours transcribing this, and then it will be up on our website, shared out to social media platforms, so a person could listen or even read what we've been talking about today. Thank you all for being on the COVID-19 Brief.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.